Good morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans 10, 15. It says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning, and we just pray that you will speak to us today, this morning, and strengthen us, and we ask you for your presence to come. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things. This is something I shared with the youth group on Saturday. But, you know, we talk about sharing the gospel. You know, as Christians, we always talk about, let's share the gospel. And the gospel just basically means good news, right? It means good news. But for us to, go to somebody and tell them about Jesus or share this good news, we have to actually first believe that it is good news. And when we go up to them, we have to kind of convince them that it is good news. You know, we can't be like super depressed and or just not into it or really be embarrassed about this good news and be like, hey, you should maybe, you know, I don't know, come check out church or whatever. You know, like we need to know in our hearts that, man, this is really the good news of God. Like, just like if you would tell somebody about, some kind of a sale at Lane Crawford or something, and it's fantastic Chinese New Year sale, then you would be excited and you would say, hey, you need to come check this out because it's awesome. And just really, like, be convincing to that person, like, oh, yeah, maybe I should go check it out, you know, when they hear just the excitement in your voice. So I just want to point out four things. This is not obviously the fullness of the gospel, but just four things that the Bible tells us about us and life, and four good things that I believe we need to really get a hold of, and these are really good news. So I'll just quickly go through them. Number one is of our point number one of our good news is that God created us, or God created you in His image. And the passage is Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. Right? So God created us. God created you in His image. That means every single one of us, and every single person out there that we see in the workplace, our friends that don't know Jesus, you know, you can tell them, hey, God created you in His image. You're not an accident. You know, you're not here by some kind of a freak chance. And He knows what He's doing, and He's created you in His image. And then, you know what that means, that God's created us in His image? It means that, you know, like how we, if we go into nature, if we go to the sea or go up to the mountain, we look at how beautiful the creation of God is, and we marvel, right? And we say, wow, that's so beautiful and that's so wonderful. And then a lot of the times, if you are a believer in God, then you say, how glorious our God is as we look at the majesty of His creation. We say, oh, that's so beautiful and so majestic, and He's the one that created that. And we think, wow, God is so awesome. And we see God's glory revealed in the creation of this world and the beauty of this world. Well, what this means, God created you in His image, it means one person is a better representation of the glory of God than all the creation in this world. No matter how majestic and how glorious, you look at it and you go, that is so beautiful. And that is a beautiful representation of God's glory because God's the one that created it. Well, no matter how beautiful that is, one person that's created it in God's image is a greater representation, a better representation of God, because nothing else in this creation is said to have been created in God's image. Right, so we are people, human beings are the only ones. Not even angels are said to be created in his image. So you can tell that person, hey, you are created in God's image. You represent God better than any other thing in this world. And that's good news number one. Because there's significance in your life. You're not some kind of an accident. You're not a nobody. There's significance to you because you represent God just by being You're created in his image. Number two, God has a good plan and a purpose for your life. And we've heard this many times, but Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." And so many of us are so worried about our life. You know, we think about, oh, what am I going to do with my life? You know, we worry about our future. Are we going to have are we going to make any impact in this world? Because there is a desire in us to make some kind of lasting impact in this world and in this life. And we think, man, how am I ever going to do that? You know, I don't even know. I mean, I was talking to the youth group. Everyone's like, I don't know what I want to do. You know, I don't know what subjects I like and what school am I going to go to. And we always worry about that. You know, we're so afraid that our life is going to be meaningless and that we're going to come to the end of our lives and we're going to, you know, think like we haven't done anything. But this verse and the good news that we can share with our friends is that, hey, God has a good plan and a purpose for your life. And good works. What is it? Ephesians. It's a GIC verse. Ephesians, I forget the reference, but it says, good works. Oh, I'm blanking on it. For we have been... Yeah. No. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Right? We are God's workmanship, masterpiece, that he created. I'm losing it again. But there are good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. And that's true for everybody. You know, it's not just true for Christians. And you say, hey, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and it's a good one. Not for calamity, but to give you hope and a future. And number three, very simply, God loves you. God loves you. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life and not will not perish but have eternal life." And very simply, God loves you. You know, Romans talks about how maybe if you are a really great person, you know, if you are the kind of person that always sacrifices and that always does good and that always looks out for the interests of others, then maybe somebody will be willing to lay down his life for you. Because that's what Jesus, that's the greatest act of love, right? For somebody to lay down his life. But Romans tells us that even when we were still sinners, you know, even when none of us here, you know, came to know God, came to really even desire to be with God, even desire to do good, you know, to follow him, God loved us and said, that person I love, and I'm going to give my life for that person. So for us, it's good news, but you can tell that person God loves you. You know, God loves you, and he gave his life for you. I know it's so cliche, But this is probably the greatest news out of all these points, that God loves us, that he's not a mean God sitting up there wanting to punish people, but that he was willing to die for us. And the last one, number four, is you are forgiven, or rather you can be forgiven. And 1 John 1:9, assurance of forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I like to do this, right? We say, hey, close your eyes and imagine what your life would be like if you have never, ever sinned your whole life. You know, you grew up 23, 30 years and you have never done anything wrong. You've always been obedient and you've always done the right thing. And, you know, how would you feel standing in the presence of God, knowing that your life has been perfect? You have perfectly obeyed the Lord. And you know what that verse tells us is that we have that on us. And legally, as we stand before the Lord, because he says, hey, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, but also purify us from all unrighteousness. That means as we stand, as I stand before God right now, I am purified, cleansed of all unrighteousness, and I am perfectly clean. So there's no, I know we feel the guilt and we feel the condemnation and the shame, but what the Bible tells us is that we are completely clean, purified as we stand before the Lord. And that's good news, you know. You can be forgiven. So many people try to live this life. Everybody feels guilty, and they try to prove themselves. They say, you know, but I'm good at this, and I did this, and I know a lot about this thing, and you know, I'm nice, you know, a lot of people talk about animal rights, you know, like I protect the environment, you know, and I do, you know, because people, they feel guilty, they'll try to justify themselves by doing, like, by fighting for a cause, you know, they'll be like, no, but you know, I'll do this, I'll have sex with everybody, and I'll do all these things, but hey, when it comes to orphanages, then I'm gonna go for it, you know, and I'll do all these things, and because it's the whole thing, like, you feel guilty, and there's weight, so you try to prove yourself, you know, try to prove to yourself and prove to the world that, say, you know, I'm not that bad, you know, sure I have that, but I'm not that bad, see, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and the good news is, hey, you can completely be forgiven. Jesus forgives you. So that's the good news. Yeah, number one, God created you in his image. Number two, he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Number three, he loves you. And lastly, you are forgiven, completely forgiven by the grace of Jesus. So let's just close our eyes, and we're kind of running late, so I don't want to, we're not going to worship, but let's just close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to come and just speak to us for a little bit about the good news. And let that really change our hearts first, so that we are so happy and so thankful and so convinced that this is the greatest news ever, so that we can tell our friends, hey, you gotta check this out because this is the good news. Let's pray together. Let's just first pray for ourselves and our church, that we, you know, everyone of us here at SP, that we really understand just the gospel, the good news of God, and that Holy Spirit will really help us to just be able to speak with conviction, you know, when we share the good news, that this is the good news, the greatest news, and that we first enjoy God and this gospel that we have. So let's just pray for ourselves and pray that God would come and reveal this these truths to us first. Let's pray for our house churches that meet on Tuesday. Lan Kwai Fong House Church, Star Street, Jean-Marc and Imelda's, and McDaddy, Kenny and Janie's House Church, and if there's any other ones that I'm forgetting. Let's pray for our house church that meets on Tuesday night tonight. Let's pray that God's presence would really come and be there. Ministry will happen as the presence of God comes, and the leaders will be anointed, and people will come with open hearts and stuff. So let's just really pray and cover our house churches that meet tonight. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for our missionaries in China. Let's pray for the Chong family doing work, discipling believers. Let's pray for anointing. You can pray for my parents, please, if they're starting their fast tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So please keep them just in prayer as they seek God's face for the next 3 days. And pray for health as well. And also, let's pray for in Chichihar, the orphanages that Pastor Sam Kim looks over. Let's pray just for the children to really have the grace of God upon their lives, and for the parents as well, that they are able to raise the kids in the love of the Father. So let's pray for our China mission focus.
Sins forgiven.
And lastly, let's pray for our retreat. Let's just prepare the retreat, prepare our hearts, and pray that God would prepare the hearts of everyone that's coming. And pray for Stefan, Hugo, our speaker, and three of his, I think it's his wife and his brother-in-law and the family. So pray for the four people that are coming, our visitors, our guest speakers. Let's pray that God would really anoint them. And pray for our venue, Nansha Grand Hotel. So just cover that and ask the Lord to bless the retreat. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, for the gospel, for the good news, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you will go with us today. Help us to just remind us, Lord, of the goodness of this news that we have, this gospel that we have. And all the things that we pray for, God, we ask. We know that you hear our prayers and we thank you. And Lord, today I pray that we'll be able to really glorify you and everything that we do, that we would be aware of your presence with us, God. So thank you. We love you and bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.